You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've said over and over again that immigrants shouldn't come to this country right now. This isn't the time to come. That message is not being received. Instead, the perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors. How do you resolve that tension? And how are you choosing which families can stay and which can go, given the fact that even though with Title 42, there are some families that are staying? And is there a timeline for when we won't be seeing these overcrowded facilities run by CPB when it comes to unaccompanied minors?
Well, look, I guess I should be flattered. People are coming because I'm the nice guy. That's the reason why it's happening. That I'm a decent man, or however it's phrased, that, you know, that's why they're coming, because no, Biden's a good guy.
Well, there you have it. President Biden today in his first news conference, first he's held in 65 days. You heard a question, and we wanted to give you a flavor of the questions he's getting. And it began by, since you're a decent human being, I mean, come on. Did they ever try that with Trump at all? Oh, well, they were not going to do that. But they're already flattering him with a question. The question was legitimate, but to start it off like, I love and adore you. What do you think about this? That's not a news conference. And on top of that, the way it appears to be going down, he's not calling on reporters, raising their hand, me, pick me. He's going by a list in front of him. They had to put their name on a list, and they're just going down the list. Now, what do you bet? What do you bet that behind the scenes they decided, we'll put your name higher on the list depending on what you're going to ask and how you're going to ask, and you have to stick with the question? You think I'm too cynical? You think I'm not being fair enough to say that this is a legitimate news conference? Well, just contrast this, the style, the approach, the favoritism, the adoration compared to what we saw when Trump was president. That should tell you everything. Somewhere in between, you should have a legitimate news conference. Take Trump to task. I had no problem with taking to task. I have done that with previous presidents. Obama, the last one. And that was the last one because of that, and not in part. But I have no problem with asking tough questions, and you can be nice and civil about it. I'm not saying you have to be nasty. You don't have to be like Jim Acosta, Acosta, me, and that, you know, Mr. President, what you, I mean, that, you shouldn't do that. But when they start off with a fawning because you're such a nice guy, and of course he bought into it. He did later clarify and say, that's really not why they're coming. They do this all the time. And you can't say they came because when Trump was president, he was a nice guy. They come because the weather's better and nicer. It happens every year, he said, every year at this time. Lie. Direct lie, and no one challenged him on it. The numbers are superior to anything we've had. And yet later, someone else did ask, point out that a mother said she sent her child because she figured he could get in. By the way this is going down, Washington Post reporters had a message ahead of Biden's first solo news conference. The media columnist and opinion writer were said basically, this is Biden's first news conference. It's a test for him, bigger test for White House reporters, according to a headline that was written. But they were being advised to downplay anything that looks like it's drama. In other words, don't be drama prone. Don't pick out drama type bites. I wonder if that also applies to the reporter making themselves look really special. Their drama. We're going to get in that over the next 2 hours, some of this conference going down. And of course, his decision yesterday to basically put VP Harris in charge of immigration, that takes a lot off of his plate, saying, when you get down to real details, talk to her. Not a good idea to put her in. And by the way, there's a new warning. from Gallup. There are roughly 42 million south of Texas who want to come into the U.S. 42 million. And right now we're going to do everything we can, I guess, to bring them in. And we're also going to get into kids in school, and some schools are being taught transgender, and the parents don't know it. And gun control, of course, back in play. And Don Lemon Fruitcake has his say. And a former CNN producer notifies CNN, you got to get Lemon off the air. He cannot continue to do this. It's wrong. You'll find out why. And, of course, some of the coziness that exists between those in power, like the Democrats, and the rest of us. You. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930. 4930 644 4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are not going to allow this to happen, not on our watch.
I saw children lined up single file based on gender being walked into barracks.
Thank you, Senator Harris. These children have not committed crimes and should be treated like criminals. They should not be treated like criminals. That was then Senator Kamala Harris in 2019 during one of the debate sessions with Joe Biden and talking about what she saw when she went to the border when Trump was in office. She's vice president now. She hasn't been to the border at all. Yesterday, of course, she got appointed by Biden to do that. I want to set that up in just a moment because I want you also hear her response earlier when someone had asked her. But she's talking about these cages again. They're going to jump in on that thing. And she said, I had a hard time understanding what her concern was. Children were lined up, separated by gender. I think that's a good idea. Do you not? Do you not think that if you have boys and girls and you're going to be bedding them down and they're going to be in these contained areas, do you not want them separated? One, for restroom facilities. Two, for protection in particular of the girls and in some cases the boys. But she just went, oh, we're not going to have that. Not on my watch if I become president. Well, you're not president. But Kamala, you did get a little plum from President Biden, and I might rephrase that. It would be a plum if you don't choke on the seed, because it's not in his hands anymore. And don't forget the other day, before he made that announcement that he's going to turn everything over to her, one of the reporters asked her if she had been to the border, and her laugh tells you everything about her attitude. And then right before today's news conference, yesterday, Biden points her to be the point for dealing with the Golden Triangle, as they call it, the countries of Guatemala, Honduras, and Salvador, where so many are coming from Central America. So let's go back and replay the question they got posed to her and then Biden's appointment. Please listen.
Do you plan to visit the border?
Not today.
She's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries we're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
Yeah, she's qualified. She's qualified. She hasn't been down there up to this point. And when asked the other day, he was going, not today. Like, it's not my stuff. I don't have to worry. Well, and I made a mistake. I said the Golden Triangle. It's the Northern Triangle. Again, we're talking about the countries that border Mexico to the south by the Golden Triangle. We are talking about Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. Don't forget Nicaragua's in that mix as well, because other countries around there, many are coming out of Central America. And President Biden today in his news conference said because of the conditions, hurricane hitting the area, weather, crops, food, all this, those are not reasons for asylum. And we have previously sent money down. But yes, Donald Trump did cut off a lot of funding because it was being wasted. Now, he made an effort, and then he also made additional effort with the countries in that area to do something in their own country to keep their folks from leaving. And he dealt with Mexico to do the same thing. And Mexico stepped up and did it. Mexico did exactly what Trump wanted. Mexico built a border wall, basically, on its southern border. They didn't want anybody to come through from the south. That was in compliance with what Trump wanted. It's either that or face some big tariffs. And they said, well, we'd rather keep these people out. Because the other issue, a lot of Mexican citizens didn't want all these Central Americans coming through and taking up their resources and things of that nature either. And they added additional troops down there. Well, 2 days ago, Biden suddenly sent an emissary of White House officials down to talk to the Mexican president and how they can get a control of the southern border of Mexico. The same thing that Trump had done. And in fact, in one of the questions that came today, I just saw this one cross. Biden is in his conference still making no apologies for ending the Trump-era migrant protocols. No apologies? By one saying you have to remain in Mexico while we adjudicate if you're really true asylum seeker. Biden administration just letting them in. Now, they would tell you we're sending a lot of them back. Some of the numbers don't indicate that, maybe 20%. They'll tell you we don't allow families, and yet families are coming in. They'll tell you we do not allow single adult men, and yet they are also coming in. And what they're also not doing is testing for diseases, including COVID. Senator Ted Cruz said very clearly, we have a disaster here.
Is truly tragic. Even Biden's DHS secretary admitted we're seeing the highest volume of illegal immigration across the southwest border in 20 years. Just last month in February, there were over 100,000 illegal aliens. They've got over 15,000 children held in cages right now. And all of this is the direct result of political decisions made by Joe Biden and his administration.
And yet he's saying, no, we got rid of the Trump things, and I make no apology. You should be apologizing. You should be apologizing to the American citizens. But, of course, the gameplay and the game book says for the Democrats, no borders, let everybody come in so we can make them Democrats. We're sure they'll vote for us. I mentioned in the opening monologue, I want to give you more detail. The chairman and CEO of the Gallup polling company posted this warning March 24. That would be yesterday, 2 days ago. What did it wait? 1 day ago, yesterday. Jim Clifton stated, there are 33 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. Roughly 450 million adults live in the region. Gallup asked, would you like to move to another country permanently if they could? Out of that 450 million adults surveyed by Gallup, 27% said yes, and probably hell yes. That means about 120 million would like to migrate somewhere else. And Gallup asked, where would you like to move? Well, those who want to leave their country permanently, 35%, 42 million, want to come to the U.S. We don't really know our number of illegals in this country. We have been estimating for years, 8 to 11, 14, maybe 17. Among others are saying it's probably closer to 30 million. Not only by you count those who came in illegally, but the births that have occurred over these years, and more coming in. What happens to Americans at that point? If they're coming in to become U.S. citizens, they're going to have to declare, and they'll come through the proper channels. I don't see that happening. Well, then, Larry, they shouldn't affect our government because, you know, they're not going to be American citizens. Yeah, but, they're going to give them the right to vote, even though they're not a citizen. I'm going to get in that in more detail in the second hour. So you take 42 million. Let's just take half of that. Let's just say 21 million. Best my ciphering, 42 divided by 2, 21 million. If only 21 million actually came into our country, what would that do to our nation and our economy and Americans working? We just saw the numbers from numbers filing for unemployment drop this last month, because we're actually beginning to reopen businesses in some states and trying to go back to work in some states. No, this issue we're dealing with is, even though Biden says, I will not apologize for anything, Senator Ted Cruz makes a good reason as to why he should.
When Joe Biden became president, he halted construction of the border wall. He reinstituted the failed policy of catch and release. And he ended the Remain in Mexico policy. And that has resulted in this crisis. They are releasing illegal immigrants. And these illegal immigrants are testing positive for COVID-19 at over 6 times higher rate than the U.S. population.
Six times higher than the U.S. population. You've spent weeks, months locked down, having to go around in a mask, so you have to talk like this, you're going to, and you all have to, they're coming in, they may or may not have a mask. The detention centers and so forth that they've set up for them, they're not chain link, so they say they're not a cage, but they're inside a plastic enclosure, let's say, or plexiglass, and children sleeping on top of children almost. There is no separation. At this moment, Senator Cruz is leading a delegation down to the border to get firsthand look, and he wanted news crews to go with him, but they have a gag order for the White House. No news crews will be allowed. So the Border Patrol and ICE have to uphold what the president's order is. They cannot allow news crews to go with the senators, U.S. senators. And yet every time any of the Democrat senators or congressmen wanted to go down the border and try to point out and make points, political points off of Trump, bring everybody. We'll let everybody get pictures. And then for the fact that you have Biden appointing Kamala Harris to oversee this. Out of California, and as a senator, she made very clear, we are a sanctuary state. She is willing to open the borders of California. She didn't want any border for California. And now for the entire states, that would include, of course, Texas, Arizona. And speaking of Arizona, what did the Arizona Republican governor have to say? I'm glad you asked, or I asked myself. Governor Doug Ducey, the Arizona Republican, not mincing words when he heard that Harris is being tapped to resolve the crisis at the border. In Tucson, he said, and I quote, she is, quote, the worst possible choice. And he added, she, quote, just flat out doesn't care. And then said, if President Biden's intent was to show he's taken this seriously, he's done the exact opposite. And, of course, they won't call it a crisis. It's a challenge. Jessica Vaughn is with the Immigration Studies Group. And she says, what we have down here, you can lay right at the feet of Joe Biden.
We know what the root cause of this is. This started when after Election Day in November, and migrants started surging up to the border, you know, expecting that Joe Biden was going to let them in. And of course, they were right. The smugglers knew this. Our researchers were down there talking to migrants. Then, if she goes down there and she talks to migrants, that's what she's going to find out, that they're coming because of the policies. And we can throw all the money in the world at the governments of countries in Central America, and it's not going to change a thing as long as we're letting everyone in at our southern border.
No, it's not. It's not. But again, Jessica Vaughn with the Center for Immigration Studies says maybe Kamala's eyes will be open. I don't count on it, but she's acknowledging at least she will be seeing things, whether or not she accepts them.
She needs to go down there and see what's actually happening. It's not clear that she ever even did that when she was in California. She ruled from Sacramento, making California a sanctuary state. That's one of the reasons people are coming here now. Many of them are settling in California. They've heard through their networks that, you know, what they what they have waiting for them in places like California and the Eastern Seaboard and Texas and so on. So she needs to hustle on down there and get a look at this, because this is going to be a problem that is going to just fester and get worse if it's not addressed very quickly.
Correct, correct. Oh, by the way, Biden was asked today, when are we going to get to see pictures and go down there? And he said, we're working on it. We don't want to strain our resources, and we'll work it out. Until they sanitize it, then you can go down. All right, your children at risk in school, transgender teaching. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Are toddlers born racist?
No, not in any real sense. I think you've seen an expansion of quote-unquote wokeness to younger and younger people. There's actually a best-selling book out called Anti-Racist Baby. It actually is true in the social sciences that toddlers trust people with faces that look more like those of their caretakers pretty early on. But the catch is that those caretakers can be of any race. Almost a quarter of marriages in the USA are interracial. So no, I don't think you need to train your baby to fight homophobia.
Or racism or anything else. Now, that's the response of Wilford Riley, Professor Riley at Kentucky State University, as he was asked on Fox, are toddlers born racist? Now, why would you ask such a question? Well, there's a good answer to that. The Washington Post published, quote, a social justice guide for toddlers. For toddlers. The idea is to push elements of the Black Lives Matter and hashtag MeToo movements onto children. Well, you're thinking, you know, it's probably a good idea that at some point maybe we begin to talk to kids and, you know, tell them everybody is equal. And I say everybody is equal, I mean everybody is equal. Don't try to say one race is superior to the other. If you were denouncing the white race, you're not saying everyone's equal. If you're denouncing the black race or brown or yellow, you're not doing it right. And at some point, maybe that's a discussion for kids. Same thing about a discussion of sex at some point. But the Washington Post and a piece written by Natalie Gianska or something like that, Social Justice for Toddlers, these new books and programs start the conversation early. How early? How early? They are talking about 3 months old. They are saying that at three months old, the toddler can begin to understand race issues, homosexual issues, transgender issues, racism in the USA being taught to a child at 3 months old. If you're going to do anything along that line, what you do is you just keep that child, let's say it's a white child, you you get with some families that I assume you know some, black, brown, yellow, and you kind of mix and let them and their child, they all share time together. They begin to realize we're all the same. That's what a child thinks. The only way someone becomes a racist is because someone teaches them to become that. Or something happens that creates that idea and they grab onto it because they hear others doing it. You really think a child at 3 months old while spitting out pablum and crying or smiling suddenly because they only lost some gas and feels better, you think they really understand that issue? Of course they don't. But again, the Washington Post gave time to this social justice guide for toddlers, and this piece written by the author about social justice for them also talks about, and the children can be exposed, and this has already been underway, by the way, performance artists having drag queens come into the schools talking to the kids, book time told by drag queens, or gender variant children. Now, again, children who have already made a decision to change their gender, as if they made that decision, they're capable of doing it. You have a tattoo. I'm going to be very personal. You have a tattoo. Did you get it one time when you were drunk, you didn't know what you're doing? Or two, did you decide, you know, everybody else has one, I want one. And then later you kind of regret it. Or you regret where you have it because it's where everybody can see it on a constant basis. And you have to cover it up because you don't want everybody to see it. And then after a few years, if you've had it for a while, you're thinking, that doesn't look that good anymore, and that's not me anymore, and I fell out of love with that girl a long time ago. Never, never put a girl's name on your body, nor a boy's name. Unless it's your own, so you can identify who the hell you are. We make a lot of mistakes. So I'm suggesting maybe at 3 months old, we start talking to toddlers about tattoos. Don't do a tattoo. You won't like it in the future. No tattoos. Then look at what's happening actually inside our public school system. Kids are being taught about transgender and possible change, many cases without the parents aware of it. That story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rottler, Rottler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, Rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rottler. Pest Solutions.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Sarah Perry with the Legal and Judicial Studies at Heritage Foundation, also a contributor to the Daily Signal. I have here in front of me an article she co-authored titled, School Districts Are Hiding Information About Gender Transitioning Children from Their Parents. This is unconstitutional. Sarah, glad to have you on board.
Larry, thanks for having me.
So let's begin with what is going on that parents don't know about in some school districts?
Well, we're seeing increasing evidence that school districts are allowing students to what's called socially transition, to use different pronouns, gender-neutral restrooms, to allow school records to be changed, and not telling parents. Now, the Supreme Court has recognized for almost a complete century that parental rights are part of the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, and that a parent has the right to educate, oversee, care for, and take control of a child's education. So for these parents to be kept in the dark about what's happening to their child at school, like what's happening not far from me in Montgomery County, Maryland, is really unconscionable. And there is a specific incident that happened with a man named Jay Klink. Some of your listeners may have remembered this sort of horror story in a suburban Chicago area just outside the city. A school district was keeping information from the parents, from the Klinks, about their minor daughter who was on the autism spectrum, high functioning on the autism spectrum, who decided that transitioning was going to be the answer to some of the social difficulties she felt. And she made a complete transition until it was too late. By the time the parents found out and were giving the school officials a directive about how to follow her biological sex and not to use this transgender ideology at school, it was too late. She's now a few months from 18 years old.
She's how old now?
She is a few months now from 18 and able to make her own decisions whether or not she's going to make a medical move toward transition.
Let me get this straight so we all follow. Now, the child making that decision, and you said the school is keeping the information from the parents. Do the parents not see something going on with the child? I mean, nothing that was visible to them?
This is interesting information. This is interesting information because we're not quite sure what happens at home. Now, a lot of teenagers are going through awkward phases, right?
Yeah, so
they experiment with the way they dress, how they cut their hair,
Yeah, want to be popular. Yeah, all of that. We all have that.
Of course.
Well, not
of
me.
Course.
Not
Every
me, I should say.
Every teenager I know. And I have two teenagers. Listen, awkwardness is the name of the game.
Sure, sure.
But for this child to take on a completely different identity at school and for these county policies, for the Board of Education to say, we're going to keep this information from parents, is unconscionable.
So she decided, and we are talking about a biological girl, right?
Correct.
So she decided at school, call me he, I assume, was he able to use the boys' bathroom as well with the school permission?
Well, she biologically was able to use a gender-neutral restroom. And when the parents outside the Chicago suburb, the Jay Klink and his wife, their situation, they were actually given the opportunity to come in, review the IEP, the Individualized Education Program. I, too, have a high-functioning child on the autism spectrum. This is what we get. We get these individual education plans. And it wasn't until that point where they were able to look at them face-to-face and say, listen, we're experiencing some strange behavior at home, that the special education coordinators came clean. When their requests were made, use biological references. She will use the biologically girls' bathroom. She will not take on another identity. They defied the Klink's wishes, and now this child is facing a decision about making a major medical transition.
Now, I said beginning this report, and again, you're listening to Sarah Perry, Legal and Judicial Studies at Heritage. I said that the schools are basically teaching transgender, but what's not just that, they're enabling kids who might be thinking, you know, maybe I was born different, and the school, rather than bringing the parents in and let's all figure out where we go from here, they're just giving the child free rein to go ahead and we'll follow your lead?
Absolutely, and it's not the first time it's happened. It's not just Montgomery County schools, and it's not just suburban Chicago schools, but schools in Madison, Wisconsin, in their capital, New Jersey's Department of Education has passed a similar guideline about not disclosing transgender student status to parents. Los Angeles Unified School District has also done this. So I would really encourage your listeners, if they have children in public schools, to be very aggressive in determining not only what's being taught, and you have a right under federal law to examine curriculum being offered to your child if you have listeners who are still online schooling their children, use it as an opportunity to stand over that child's shoulder, ask questions, send emails, but also pay very close attention to behavioral changes. If you have any concerns, you need to use your rights under FERPA, which is the federal law that organizes and permits the actual exclusionary information to everyone except a parent. A parent has an unfettered right. It is the right of each parent with a child in school to examine their child's record at any point. And Montgomery County,
and that applies to private school. That applies to private parochial as well, correct?
Any school that achieves or receives any federal dollar whatsoever, and that could even be for a reduced lunch program. So if a dollar changes hands from the federal government, absolutely, you have a right to examine curriculum and, more specifically, your student's record.
I raised two daughters, and they're now, in late 30s and so forth, and I remember watching sometimes what they're wearing going out the door. You're not wearing that to school. You're not wearing that, and you're not going to put that on your face, that makeup, and go to school, as I got into high school or even junior high at one point. And I thought I was doing a great job. I was keeping those, they weren't going to school looking like that. They were going to have that kind of makeup on. Until my wife said, you do know that when they get out the door, they go and put it on anyway, or they change, or they got clothes for another friend. So, that was the least of issues compared to what we have here. If the girl just goes out and kind of dressed in unisex clothing, which many do right now, same thing with boys, you don't really know what their mindset is at school. If the school's not sharing with you, your child is going through this gender transition quandary and are being pushed and urged and thinking it will solve everything.
Well, and it doesn't hurt that the teachers' unions are very much in with the transgender push. In fact, 2 years ago at the National Education Association Conference, the NEA Teachers Union down in Dallas, they hosted a drag queen show for all the educators that attended. So the NEA, obviously no friend to centrists or conservatives. They have been pushing this agenda, trying to pass it as a referendum among their organization for many, many years. But you're absolutely right, Larry. These kids are so susceptible to the leanings of society and to what their friends are doing. There is a true social contagion that operates among
I believe that
prepubescent and adolescent kids.
I believe also, and again, I have several homosexual friends, but I do know that a lot of students, kids, are they think maybe that'd be cool, and being cool is what it's all about. That if I say I'm lesbian or something like that, as opposed to just being a normal girl, I have a new label, and I'm newly embraced and so forth. That's a different decision on a mindset, but we're talking about really transgender and eventually maybe leading to the physical change. Very quickly as we wrap up, before you joined us, I know you're familiar with that. I was talking about that Washington Post article that came out this week with publishing a social justice guide for toddlers that at 3 months old, we can start teaching these kids this stuff. I can hear you laughing. That's one reaction, but go ahead.
It is, Larry. I have to tell you, this is sort of where we are culturally. I think we've reached sort of the pinnacle of peak wokeness. I think once the administration changed hands, and now we have a democratically controlled House, and we have an even split in the Senate and a democratically controlled White House, we were going to see more and more of this because the big machinery of government is operating behind the scenes on a lot of this.
Well, it's not all behind the scenes. We've got a cabinet member who is a bona fide transgender.
Absolutely.
Over Health and Human Services.
And as I said to a colleague just today, nations like China must be looking at us and laughing because as they plot ways to increase tariffs on goods and they decide they're going to continue with their nuclear capabilities, they're looking at us as having appointed a biological man dressed as a woman to assist the secretary for HHS. Listen, we're going to see more of this. It will not decrease. It will only increase. And that requires vigilance on the part of all citizens. Find out who your elected representatives are.
Yeah.
Make yourself heard at school board meetings and go to your child's school. Learn what
Absolutely.
They're doing.
And I've always said that if a child is that, and even as a young adult or an older adult, is that confused in their body and their mind, I feel for them. It's nothing to condemn, but when schools and those in control are pushing and urging and basically enabling. I have a problem there. I want to thank you very much for your time, sir. I really appreciate it. We'll probably have you back because this issue is not going to go away tomorrow. I wish it would.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. Sarah Perry, she wrote the piece in the Daily Signal. You can check it out, School Districts Hiding Information. Coming up, something being hidden about Hunter Biden again. You didn't know? Of course not. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I actually made a mistake. I'm not going to tell you about Hunter Biden and something he did, but not here, but I will in the next hour because it ties into the gun control law issues. And the reason I need to run it in the next part is because we're going to spend more time on gun control laws. But I do have something else here that I was going to share, and I just pulled up the wrong sheet. I do a good job of trying to produce this program in advance. Sometimes I start changing on the fly. And today, I have to honor and praise my director, Quentin. He was helping me pull stuff together while the president was speaking. I was still trying to prepare the base program. But here's what I want to share with you. Sources are telling the Times Union and Washington Post, and this should come as no surprise, Andrew Boots on the Ground in Chicago sent it to me, and I already had it, but he said, is anyone surprised by this news? My answer is no, and I know he wasn't either. Sources telling the Times Union and Washington Post that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo instructed health officials to, quote, prioritize coronavirus testing for members of his family, including his brother, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo. Oh, isn't it great to be among the chosen few? Family members included the CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, as well as their mother, at least one of the sisters. Some family members apparently got multiple tests. Here, if you recall, Chris Cuomo was tested at his home on Long Island. Well, I mean, you didn't know that, but you do remember that then he isolated himself at his home after testing positive was the story he gave everyone. But we all know he snuck out because he was caught on video arguing with a guy at a land site he went to check. And then later came out of the basement like, oh, well, that's over. I'm back. I can see my family again. They were all together, leaving the house together anyway. Well, what does Governor Cuomo have to say about this? He said that we should avoid insincere efforts to rewrite the past. He didn't say that, but one of his spokesmen did, saying, among those we assisted were members of the general public, including legislators, reporters, state workers, and their families who feared they had contracted the virus and the capability to spread it. So we're just doing what we were doing to everyone else. Do you buy that? Do you? I doubt you do. Another issue. Vice President Kamala Harris been getting some criticism for apparently breaking precedent when boarding Air Force Two. She's not saluting the honor guard that's at the ramp as she goes up. She's not saluting them as she goes past them, nor when she comes down. She has been slammed by Charlie Kirk, who appears on the station ahead of me, and also former New York Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick. She walks right past the honor guard and just runs on up. Carrick wrote, it's disgraceful. Refuses to salute the honor guard. Clear demonstration of her dislike for those in uniform, both law enforcement and military. And video shows she didn't do it on Monday on earlier trips. She didn't do it on disembarking Air Force One with Biden on March 19th. Recent vice presidents have been doing that. That would include Pence. It included Biden when he was a vice president. But I have to stress to you, there's no real demand. I mean, there's nothing in law or even protocol that says she should do so. I would prefer she do it as a sign of respect, but she's a civilian. She doesn't really have to. This all came up originally with Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan was president, and he said, I was in the Army, and I know what the protocol is. Civilians aren't supposed to be saluting military. He said, but I'm thinking that, you know, I am commander-in-chief. Don't you think I should salute these Marines as I pass by and go up the stairs or down the stairs? I mean, I said, I know that civilians aren't necessarily don't have to do that, but I am commander-in-chief. And the answer he got from the person he was addressing said, I don't think anybody's going to complain if you do, so why not? It's a courtesy, and it's something I would expect, too. I would expect he is commander-in-chief. He is the top of the military chain, even though he's not being in the military. Obama did sometimes. Sometimes he'd come out of the helicopter with a cup of coffee in one hand. So I can't salute. I got coffee in my hand. Put the damn cup down before you walk out. It's that simple. So Harris is getting some flack over this, and on one hand I agree, but I want to make sure you understand she's really not required to. But out of respect, could I ask for a little respect? R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Sharpton, is that the way you spell that? Just should be done that way. Coming up, more from the Biden news conference and some of the reviews coming out, and some of them are not looking good for him, and some of the things he's now saying, he might have tried to bite off too much of the first news conference. Maybe it went too long. Maybe he kind of got a little addled. I'll break it down for you. No news and commentary at the next hour. We'll focus on the Biden news conference first. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.